Hello, welcome. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of December. So what is that? Just in two sleeps, one and a half sleeps until Christmas Day. Can you believe it? It's gone by so quickly. Joining me this afternoon, we'll be speaking with the owner of Primal Performance and Fitness Gym in Naas on tips to stay fit and healthy while still enjoying the Christmas period, obviously. We'll be then speaking with journalist for the Irish Times, Deirdre Falvey, on the most popular and top earning songs of this time of year. Helen Vaughan, the psychotherapist and director and owner of Maynooth Counselling and Psychotherapy, will join us. Again, some more tips and advice how you can stay upbeat if you're spending Christmas in isolation. And obviously this Christmas, people won't be seeing as many people as they may have in Christmas past, obviously not 2020. And then we will be checking in with Pat Costello, who is out and about in the county of Kildare. He's in Naas today in the OB unit. It's bright, it's yellow, it has KFM on the side. Go up, say hi to him, see if you can get any gifts or anything nice, and we'll check in with him and see what's happening in Naas town this afternoon. And of course, I want to hear from you this afternoon. The number to get in touch, the WhatsApp and the text line is 0833 97 97 97. And that is in association with Whitewater Shopping Centre, Newbridge. Cuiva Harney is in studio too. And the number to reach her on is 045 901 490. And of course, the email is studio@kfmradio.com. So I think this time of year, people do tend to, well, it's the main time of year that we do tend to go a bit overboard when it comes to food. I feel like maybe Easter time as well, when it comes to the chocolate, we do go overboard. And, you know, people then by January 1st are like, oh, I splurged way too much. I need to get back on track, etc., etc. So we're joined now by Paul Waters. He's the owner of Primal Performance and Fitness Gym in Naas, and he has some tips for us to stay fit and healthy while still, obviously, I guess, gorging on food over the next few days. Hi, Paul.
How you doing, Ciara?
Are we allowed to gorge on food for the next few days?
Yeah, in moderation, if you can gorge in moderation.
I don't want to do moderation, Paul. Not for the next few days.
I would be, I suppose the first thing I'd say when it comes to this time of year, and we've said it to our members as well, some of them that are going down the country and stuff like that, or some of them might be in over Christmas, is like, essentially, if you look at the Christmas period as 2 weeks, it only makes up 4% of the year. So although we can go off the rails a little bit, probably from a mental point of view, with the year or 2 years we've had, don't beat yourself up too much.
Yeah.
Having said that, there are a couple of little pieces or tips that we can kind of put into our week or plan into our week or over the next couple of days that may help.
And Paul, in fairness, I think people are probably more up to it, just like last year, you know, exercising and doing things like that over these kind of lockdown / isolation Christmases, because there's not as much to do. It's not the usual feel that we have around the place. So people are almost encouraged to go out and exercise because they get their time outside. Maybe they get their time away from the people that they're spending a huge majority of the next 2 weeks with, and they have that space and clear their head.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we've definitely seen the number of people out. Even at this time of year, you usually have less people out running, but over the last couple of lockdowns, people have tried to get out running at this time, even out for walks, anything at all, any sort of activity. And people are getting better at it. What I would say is, if you struggle to kind of stick to a schedule or to get out at a specific time, or keep on telling yourself, oh, I'm going to go for a walk today, and you get to the end of the day and you haven't, putting it into your calendar or messaging a friend and scheduling a time to go for a walk with somebody. Sometimes having a buddy to do that with
Yeah.
can give you a little bit more accountable and make sure that you do get out the door and get some activity in.
Absolutely. When you rope someone else into it, you're more accountable, aren't you? And you'll be more likely
Definitely.
To probably do it as well. For people who are going to be in isolation, though, unfortunately, Paul, over the next, you know, few days, whether it's 10 days or not, what advice do you have for them for working out at home in a room, literally?
I suppose the amount of online coaches and everything else out there is a huge amount of 5-minute workouts, 20-minute workouts, bodyweight workouts. There's absolutely everything out there. And at this point, if you're stuck in a room and you're looking for a bit of activity, there isn't any really bad activity, or you don't have to search through for hours and hours trying to find the perfect workout to do for 5 minutes. 99% of the workouts that you're going to see online on YouTube or on Instagram or Facebook, 90% of them are going to be most of the same movements. So just even Google a 5 minute workout, a 20 minute workout.
And something else I think maybe we should just note to listeners, Paul, is obviously if you have been diagnosed with COVID-19, first off, very sorry for you. It's horrible to be in on Christmas Day. But it is something to be aware of if you are a bit ill and you don't have COVID-19 either, if you have another respiratory illness at the moment, not to go too hard on yourself when it does come to the workouts. And as you're saying, maybe just 5-10 minutes, that's all you need, because your body is obviously, in terms of COVID-19, fighting off this virus or anything else. It is doing a lot of work or putting in a lot of work to make sure that you are okay.
Yeah, the big thing would be, like, you're not looking to, I suppose, to beast yourself or really overdo it. At this point, if you are stuck in isolation and you're stuck in your room, it's just getting some activity and just getting moving, getting your heart rate up to a reasonable level. You're not necessarily looking to sweat buckets or...
you're probably already doing that, maybe, if you're sick.
So, possibly.
Yeah,
but it is just a little bit of movement. And even just kind of stretching out the joints and the muscles and stuff like that, you will feel an awful lot better. Just doing a little bit of flexibility work. So even if you're not feeling from an energy point of view up to jumping around your room for 5 or 10 minutes, a short yoga or a Pilates video would not be any harm either.
Now, one of the things I want to mention, just kind of, I guess, tips that can keep people going over the festive period. We hear this even when it's not Christmas time, that staying hydrated actually helps stave off cravings for anybody, because your body is, you know, taking in even that water, even if it is hungry, looking for food, etc., etc. So that's one of the things people can obviously stay on top of this festive period, even if they are enjoying a tipple or two. Do keep the water in the whole system also. And then the consistency day to day, like even if you're doing the 5 to 10 minutes every single day, it's not much out of your day. And again, it's not going to be too busy at Christmas for anybody this year, just with restrictions as is.
Yeah, no, definitely hydration is a huge part of it. With people consuming probably a little bit more alcohol than they would in kind of a normal week to week, hydration is important from that perspective. But yes, to keep the body more satiated and to kind of fight off those hunger pangs, keeping hydrated is very important. And doing anything you can really to scave off a little bit of boredom, because that's the other side. But often when we get bored and we're a little bit dehydrated, we start to graze a little bit. And that's where we would do the real damage is grazing. We're fine when it's around meals, when the turkey and ham and everything else comes out, we'll get plenty of veg on. But it's afterwards when we're kind of watching a Christmas movie that we've already seen before and we're kind of heads turning, looking at where that box of roses gone or something like that.
Totally.
It is really the kind of boredom and grazing that can be two of the biggest culprits. Now, if you do fall into that cycle and you're sitting there and you find that you have gone through half a box of whatever it might be, don't then plan your next day to, I'm going to skip a meal here, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to go out and do a 5K. Don't punish yourself the next day for whatever you might do today, or don't restrict today so you can gorge tomorrow. You are trying to keep it relatively consistent. If you have a day where you binge a little bit, there's no need to give yourself a slap on the wrist. Just be conscious of it, conscious of how it happened, and make sure you kind of cut them out over the next week or so.
Paul, obviously we haven't even got to the big day yet, and I'm going to speak about the new year, but it is that time of year that people do kind of put crazy schedules and resolutions in place, saying, oh, I'm going to run 5K each day even though they've never ran before, etc, etc. Some brief tips and advice on people who do want to get into a better fitness regime come the new year.
Build yourself out an achievable plan. We'll have plenty of people coming to us in the new year looking to join. Now, some people will be switching from other gyms, some people will be completely new to it. So getting a perspective or a realization on the stage you're at in your journey is very important. once you can kind of come to terms with that, if you're okay, well, I'm going to struggle to get out and run a 5K or even get out and cover a kilometer a day, 5 days a week. Kind of once you have a, I suppose, a grasp on the level you're at, then start to plan out from there. It's all well and good. People kind of talking about the Couch to 5K is brilliant. It's really good. It's structured well. But that might not be ideal for everybody. So it's kind of having a look at the level that you're at and then kind of putting a plan in place. And that might be a 6 month plan, not necessarily, oh, by the end of January, I'm going to be a lean, mean machine. It's more so kind of small achievable goals, definitely over January, and just building habits. It's not even about coming into the gym and beasting it. It's if you haven't been going to the gym for the last 6 months or the last 2 or 3 years, just get into the habit of showing up. Most of the gyms out there are very good. They're very well run. They're very good coaches. They will look after the rest. They'll give you the little push that you need. Hopefully they don't push you too hard. But your job is just getting into habits of getting to the gym 2, maybe 3 days a week and then building on that.
Perfect. Listen, Paul Waters, a very Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for all that tip and advice. You are, of course, the owner of Primal Performance and Fitness in Nason. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much, Ciara. You too.
Now, we were mentioning there a few moments ago with Paul Waters that a lot of people are going to be isolating over Christmas. It's believed to be around 136,000 people on Christmas Day in particular. So if you are forced to self-isolate, it does mean that there's new rules about close contacts. So if you're a close contact of somebody and you haven't received a booster COVID-19 vaccine, this is the booster, so the third dose, then that means that you still have to restrict your movements for 10 days. But if you have received a COVID-19 booster vaccine, you only need to restrict your movements for 5 days. So that's the difference there. And just to note that for people, obviously you heard on the ad there, keep taking the Al antigen test if you are going to be mixing with other households, because some people are asymptomatic. And I guess we're just all trying to do the best we can and keep on top of things as much as we can. But I'm online here now and I'm looking at all the people coming in through the airport doors. And I was mentioning on the news at one that there's going to be about 268,000 people coming into Dublin Airport over the next week. And some of the photos are so lovely and the stories I'm seeing online. Some people haven't seen their families in literally over 2 years. Some people mightn't have been at home for Christmas 2019 pre-pandemic, and this is the first Christmas they've been home. I see families like with all their children that they haven't been able to get back to the country. The first time grandmothers and grandfathers are meeting their grandchildren, believe it or not. And then mums coming to meet their children that they haven't seen, who may not necessarily be from Ireland, but their children have to stay in Ireland for their work, etc. So it's so nice seeing all this. It's always so lovely seeing the images, especially today and tomorrow, of Dublin Airport and how excited people are to see each other. So yes, it's very heartwarming and lovely this time of year to see this stuff. Of course, do keep your texts coming in this afternoon. The number to get in touch with me, 0833 97 97 97. That is text or WhatsApp. Now, obviously all day and throughout the past month and throughout the next few days, we're going to be playing Christmas music wall to wall. And we know that there's some very popular songs out there. And what are the top earning ones of those when it comes to Christmas music? Deirdre Falvey is joining me now. She's a journalist with the Irish Times. How are you, Deirdre?
How are you, Ciara? How are things?
Things are well. I mean, and probably not as well as Mariah or half of these people who are getting the royalties from this song.
Oh, look. If we could all hit that nail on the head, we'd be doing well, wouldn't we?
I mean, do you know what? It's not going to be as busy a Christmas, like I was saying to my first guest, as it has been in previous years. So I'm literally going to sit there and try and think of something like, you know, that can possibly get a Christmas number one. I mean, they're not too, you know, off the wall, the lyrics. So we could all probably pull them together. Even, you know, Ed Sheeran and Elton John this year. I think any of us could have put those words together.
Yeah, but it only works for some people, whether it's luck or talent or just the right place, the right time. But there are some songs that really make it. I think there are plenty of people who've tried and failed, because it is a surefire earner. If you have a Christmas hit that becomes an evergreen and that is played over and over year after year, it just keeps on giving, in a financial way anyway.
I'm looking at your article in The Times, and the Irish Times that is, and the top earning Christmas songs of all time. Number one is White Christmas, such a stunning song. Irving Berlin obviously wrote that in 1940. Yeah. And the estimated earnings, €57 million.
Yeah, for Irving Berlin and presumably Bing Crosby's estate, given that they're both long dead. But yeah, that is, and it is the quintessential Christmas song, isn't it? It's just beautiful. And some of the, I mean, there are different ways of calculating what the earnings are, and that has been a long runner for, as you say, decades.
Now, I also see in the second spot is Mariah Carey, and the co-writer on that is Walter Afanseff, I believe is the name. And thank you very much. And we'll both guess. And the song, obviously, All I Want for Christmas Is You. It was 1994, and the estimate, so about as old as I am, and the estimated earnings, which I have not made in the same number of years, €53 million.
Yeah, that's kind of staggering. And it's also like, I hate that song.
Do you?
I can't. I know. And it was in Love Actually, which did give it a big boost a few years after. And it's been very popular ever since. But I find that inexplicable myself. It wouldn't be. I find it a bit gooey and sentimental.
Okay, fair.
In a way that White Christmas seems more authentic to me, but maybe, I don't know.
Okay, you're not into that.
Different flavors of sentimental.
Very true. The next on the list is Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, 1934. I was surprised at this being third on the list. Haven Gillespie and Fred J. Coots wrote that one, an estimated €44 million. So a surprising entry there, no?
Well, I don't. Isn't that the song that everybody sings as a kid? You know, we don't even think of it as having a writer whose estate now must be making an income in all the way along since it was written in the 30s. But it is one of the songs that children know from early on. It's not a pop song as such. You know, it's just part of the culture.
And in 1944, Mel Torme wrote the Christmas song, which most people won't know from the title, but it is that song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. And that's €40 million. And then fifth is Paul McCartney's, does he need any more hits with all those Beatles back catalogues? But Wonderful Christmas Time in 1979, that's brought in €35 million. It's absolutely crazy. Then if you look at the top earning Christmas songs, this is yearly royalties. Now, breaking it down year by year, who's top? It's Slade, Merry Christmas, Everybody. They wrote that in 1973, or it came out in 1973 anyway. That's €745,000 each year that band would get from that. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways of there are different calculations of royalties. I mean, that was the €745,000 is from last year, from a sort of an analysis last year. But back in 2016, which is only a few years ago, the Channel 5 program estimated that it was over £1 million a year in sterling that it got in, that song got in royalties. Now, those royalties would be split between Slade and the two writers, who are also members of Slade, but presumably, well, depending on how the whole thing is structured, they'll all get good money out of it. Noddy Holder has called it his pension plan, that song, you know.
And indeed, I'm sure it is.
And indeed it is. He says it's like winning the lotto every December.
Then the next one is obviously one that a lot of Irish people will be very familiar with and probably have a soft spot for. It's The Pogues, Fairy Tale in New York. That comes in at around 560,000. Then it's your favourite, Deirdre, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas at around €530,000. Then it's Wham! Last Christmas. That's from 1984. That's €445,000. And then Band Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas Time? So that was released in 1984. And they get about €115,000 a year. I wonder, Deirdre, do you have the answer to this? Does that go back to charity, that 115,000, as you're saying we can't be specific with the numbers every single year?
Do you know, I have no idea. I mean, they should have set up a sort of a trust or something, and the Live Aid charity has had sort of a longevity in terms of projects it supports, so I imagine it does. I don't know, but it certainly should do.
Now, I'm reading about the Pogues song, Fairy Tale of New York, which many people, I think it's been voted numerous times, even in different countries like the US and the UK, that it's the favourite Christmas song by the public, voted by the public. And they call it here, or you call it here, brutal and bittersweet. It's trotted out at this time of year. And you noted that Shane McGowan, he co-wrote it with Jem Finer. And Shane McGowan has said, it's just musical wallpaper now. I hear it and it doesn't make me sick. It's pretty good. Then he goes on to say that we just wrote a good song that happens to be a Christmas. He said it's a no-nonsense, no-bull song about a fighting couple, but it was open-ended. But obviously, in the past few years in particular, Deirdre, with the lyrics of that song, it did cause quite a stir.
Yeah, it has caused quite a stir. I mean, it is first of all, it is a non-sentimental song, and it is, you know, it is so bittersweet, and it has, I suppose, it has the open-ended bit at the end, where maybe they will have an okay Christmas or whatever. It has caused controversy in terms of usage of a word, of a slur word. I don't like to see something being censored, because the song, those words are in the mouth of a character who is singing the song. There are two characters. It's a duet, and there are two characters who are, you know, really down on their heels, have had a rough life, have had a really roller coaster of a life and of a relationship, and that word is the word that there's a lot of controversy about is used by one of them. I mean, it has to be divorced, I suppose, from the view of the songwriter or from somebody listening to it. Although I think that there is definitely an element of people bellowing it out and almost with delight.
Yeah, being bold.
That is unpleasant and childish and immature as well, but it's kind of abusive in its intent. But the song itself, you know, just because somebody writes a character who is a bad person, or just because somebody writes a character who uses language abusively, or uses a word that is just part of the language and that is perceived as abusive, I don't think that things like that ought to be censored. It seems like we can't make everything anodyne.
Yeah, that's, well, a lot of people would agree with you there, Deirdre. Listen, I am sad that my favourite Christmas song is not on the list, and that is Shakin' Stevens' Merry Christmas, Everyone. It's my absolute favourite.
It figures well in the figures somewhere now. God, all the numbers, I mean, they're sort of meaningless for people like you and me who are not going to see anything like that. So,
Deirdre, don't wish that on me.
Well, maybe. But so he apparently, he earns around 10,000 sterling or 15,000 sterling or something like that for the radio plays of Merry Christmas, Everyone, because the bulk of the royalties apparently goes to the songwriter, Bob Heatley, H-E-A-T-L-I-E, who I've never heard of, but he earns big time from the Shakin' Stevens song, which is probably one of the only reasons most people know Shakin' Stevens still, beyond, you know, who weren't around when he was big. But it is an indication, actually, of how who earns the money from a really big perennial hit like these Christmas songs. You know, they're divided up between the songwriter, the performer, the label, maybe the producer. And that varies from song to song, depending on what kind of contract they've written. So you can end up with really poor luck coming out of something that people are assuming you're making a fortune from.
Many of those pop groups over the years have spoken about, haven't they?
Screwed over by record labels or whoever. Now, I know that Boney M, the singer with Boney M, in an interview with The Guardian a number of years ago, Liz Mitchell, you know, Mary's Boy Child, oh my Lord, that song, which was 1978 and is a beautiful song, it's fabulous. And she made the comment to The Guardian that the record company, whatever way the package was put together, everybody around them made the money, and they get, you know, she reckoned maybe a seventh of 1% from the sales of 1.2 million.
Oh my
because
God.
Of the four members of Boney M, and but they did badly out of that, even though it is one, you know, it's up there in terms of earnings.
Well, so interesting, Deirdre Falvey. Thank you so much for coming on. Merry Christmas. I hope you have a lovely one, and I hope you don't hear Mariah Carey too much.
That now for me is like wallpaper. I don't notice that. Whereas I do love Fairy Tale of New York. Just you hear it too much. You know, it's like anything.
Yeah,
it becomes too familiar and it loses its edge.
But well, we are going to play, of course, one of the top earning Christmas songs, and the yearly royalties for this song in 2020 was €445,000. Deirdre Falvey, journalist with the Irish Times, thank you so much. Now, we were speaking to Paul Waters of Primal Performance and Fitness Gym in Naas earlier about tips to stay fit and healthy throughout Christmas, and in particular just mentioning some of those who may be in isolation, how they can cope with it. But if you are in isolation, you're going to feel obviously down. No matter how you feel about Christmas, it's not great to be in self-isolation. Helen Vaughan joins me now. She's a psychotherapist and the director and owner of Maynooth Counselling and Psychotherapy. Good afternoon to you, Helen.
Good afternoon. Happily, I am not isolating, so I know I shouldn't gloat, should I though?
No, don't gloat, because neither am I, and I feel like karma might, you know, come and bite us.
Exactly, now it's going to happen to
Yeah, us. Just anyway, knock us back down to earth. We gotta say, please, karma gods, don't do that to us. Listen, you and I are lucky enough not to be in isolation currently, but there are many people across this country, as I was mentioning earlier, I think it's about 136,000, they estimate, who have received a positive COVID-19 test since the 16th of December. And that doesn't even count those who are close contacts, because as I was mentioning earlier, if you are a close contact, you now need to isolate for 10 days if you have not yet received your booster COVID-19 vaccine, the third. And if you have received that booster and you have been designated a close contact or confirmed as a close contact, I should say, you have to isolate for 5 days. So there are going to be a lot of people in that position. And it's that time of year, you know, you just have your little traditions in place, and staying in the room is not going to make you feel any better. So what can we do to stay upbeat and keep ourselves from getting down this Christmas season?
Well, I wonder, do you switch that around where it's like it mightn't be possible to be upbeat, and it might be that you're down, and sometimes it's accepting that you're probably not going to have a great Christmas. It is rubbish what's happening. The pandemic is rubbish, you know, and that emotionally that is going to impact you. And I don't know if you can find little pockets of upbeatness in the day if you're isolating, great. But if you can't, maybe that's reality too. You know, not to pressure yourself to have a good Christmas, or even an okay Christmas if you are isolating, because, you know, maybe you feel really down about it. Maybe you feel angry, frustrated, sad. And all those feelings are valid given what's happening to you. You know, so
or
I would
maybe,
say,
Helen, you might be glad not to have to see some of those family members that you'd usually
maybe
have to see around this period. And you're like, score, I don't have to have a chat with you. I have a proper excuse this year, not the usual have to run off or anything like that. We could find a silver lining if we tried.
There can definitely be silver lining. And I think that's part of it, is maybe trying to enjoy the me time if that's possible. You know, so enjoy watching movies you like that other people don't, or listening to music that you love, or going out into your garden, or finding whatever things you can do within your own household or your own area that are safe and that are okay. So it's trying to, yeah, maybe not feel, I know you will feel down, and so there's an acceptance of that, but yeah, enjoying some of the things maybe that you can do that you mightn't have done otherwise. You know, having a rest if you're really tired, and if you're sick, obviously.
That's what I was just going to mention, that I think people mightn't give themselves the allowance that they can rest and they can, you know, just sleep or snooze or whatever. Because if you have been diagnosed with COVID-19, whether you're badly ill or not, as I was mentioning to Paul Waters there earlier when we were speaking about exercising, you do need to give your body that time just to chill out. And some people who might just be isolating because they're a close contact, they may have had an incredibly busy 2021. And I guess to take advantage of that time to chill out and just, I guess, balance out the equilibrium of the body.
Yeah, and I think it's something we're getting worse at as time goes on. We're getting busier and busier and time poor. And I thought the pandemic did teach us a bit about stopping and not always rushing, but I feel like maybe we slipped back to it. But we've become quite bad, I think, at resting and just not having to do or show that I'm doing or bake something or cook something or, you know, knit something or draw something, that sometimes actually you need to just drop everything and rest for a while. And sometimes, you know, when you go to watch a movie and then you just think, I have 2 hours now where I don't have to go anywhere, I don't have to do anything, I don't even have to get up off the couch or the bed or whatever it is.
Unless your,
you know,
watch buzzes and tells you have to take those steps
well,
for that
take
hour.
Take the watch off. Take the watch off for a few days. You know, it's sometimes it's trying, all those outside voices and demands and things, just to silence them for a few days and take the rest. Whether you have COVID and you're isolating or you're not, do try to take a rest and have some days over Christmas where you're not doing things or going places or seeing people, and just try to have a pajama day if you can. Have a yes day for kids if you can tolerate it, where you try to say yes to the things they ask for within reason, obviously. You know, just try to do some things that spend time either with just yourself or your family or your children or whoever you enjoy spending time with.
And Helen, tell us a bit more about self-care and the importance. If you're not somebody who needs to isolate or sick at all throughout the Christmas period, self-care is something that's really important, that a lot of people will say it's a new agey, you know, type of wording, which it is. But the premise of it, we always should have been following.
Definitely. It's something that as a therapist, we learned as part of our training, but it has become a bit trendy. And I remember seeing an Instagram post where they were suggesting you descale your kettle as part of your self-care routine. And I was like, that is nonsense. I won't do that literally any day of the week, even on the day I'm doing the household chores. No thanks. But it's definitely not self-care. Self-care is about looking after yourself and trying to nurture yourself. And I sort of think about those four pillars of wellness that are things like connection. So that's connecting with other people or animals or music or hobbies, whatever your sense of connection is. It's sleep and getting as much sleep as you need and that works for you. Movement is another one, which again is on a big scale in terms of how much movement I need versus you versus somebody else. And then nutrition is the other one. So trying to eat a varied diet if you can. And those are the four things. If you can, you know, if you're doing well on two of those and not so well on two, can you do an incremental change? Like I always think, you know, mark it out of 10. Let's say for me, if 8 hours sleep a night is 10 out of 10, at the moment I'm getting 7. Okay, how can I get from 7 out of 10 to 8 out of 10? Can I go to bed half an hour earlier just to go up the scale a little bit, if you know what I mean? Rating things can be a helpful way just to think about small changes rather than thinking I have to get 8 hours sleep a night or else I'm going to feel terrible. You know, that's very black and white thinking. So it's trying to improve whether it's your sleep or your movement. If you're going for 2 walks a week and you want to do a bit more, can you fit in a third walk? Can you do a walk run where you go a bit faster some of the time? You know, it's just trying to do small changes. And it is a good time in a way to do some changes even now before the new year, but just think of small things you can do to do a little bit more, but also take rest and the downtime, which, you know, we were all just about to finish work, hopefully, and just have a bit of time out. But think about your connection, your sleep, your movement and your nutrition.
Okay, well, Helen Vaughan, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon. I really wish you a lovely Christmas and I hope you have a very safe and happy new year. And you are, of course, the psychotherapist and director and owner of Maynooth Counselling and Psychotherapy. So some tips to keep you upbeat and, I guess, healthy over the next few days or months, whether you're in isolation or not. Helen, thanks so much.
You're welcome.